We're gonna take you this final hour.
So, Vlad, we've been talking about this game tonight. And you think, like, being young and coming off such an exciting, energetic road win, and this being the first game back home since then, you think that gives the Spurs more energy or a letdown?
That's a good question. Young. They're young, so I think it might give them energy in the fact that they're, like you said, they are young. So with them being so young, this might be the first for all of them. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Knicks have a couple of players who've been in the finals with Mikal Bridges and OG Anunoby. Mikal with the right. Suns and OG. And the other thing that low-key...
Didn't
that
OG win in Toronto?
Yeah, OG won that year. What we talked about with Kawhi. And Mikal... Mikal had a 2-0 lead and then lost 4 in a row to Milwaukee when Giannis and the Bucks won the title. So and Mike Brown's been there. So I would think that it could work two ways. The home crowd could give them the boost that they need because they might be like you said, might have a slow start. They're young. Everything might be so new and overwhelming to them in the beginning that they might need the energy from the crowd to give them a boost. Or it could go the other way where it's just too much for them and they just, you know, have to experience and be like...
Poise versus passion.
Poise versus inexperience.
Because,
yeah.
Because it'll be an issue where... And keep in mind, sometimes when you're younger, you get so excited about the moment that you burn all your energy. And then you get to the second half and you can't breathe and you're exhausted.
Like nothing can experience you this for this.
No.
You have to go through it in order for you to experience it.
I played in a NFC championship game and had the lead the whole game. And I would say there. Just the lead up to it, and we had a longer period of time. The lead up to it and the feel of the day, right? And how it felt during the day. One of the things that we were happy about is we got to play the early game.
So you would was it a noon game or a 3 p.m. game?
For us, it was a noon game.
Yeah, so...
Wait, no. Wait. Championship is at 3-7.
So it was 3-6 back then, right?
Or 3-6, or however they do it. The early game starts later, but they don't... On Saturdays is like 4-8. But on Sundays, when they did the playoffs on Sunday, it's earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So we played the early game, so we didn't have to wait around. But from the second you went on, even for your regular warm up, like it was hard for me. It was hard to stay in the moment. And that means that not let the excitement of what's getting ready to happen suck all of your energy out of you. Right. So basically what you would do is we would just go out on the field and BS. And not even think about football and just, you know, try not to make it bigger than it was. That's because we were older. We could go out there and joke and laugh and have fun. I don't necessarily know how a guy like Randy took it, right? I don't know how the younger guys took it because we had, you know, a lot of us had been in the playoffs and even being to the playoffs, it wasn't like that. The crowd, the atmosphere, the television, the crews out there, it wasn't like that. And that was only the championship game. So I can't imagine in basketball, your first, and this is their first time to the playoffs.
First time to the playoffs, first time for everything. Like,
right.
That's
But maybe, that's what I said. I would say ignorance is bliss, is that they might be too dumb to realize how big the moment is and just go out and ball out.
I think Vlad brought this up in the first segment, the first hour, while I was like hiding backstage.
Lurking in the show.
Yeah, exactly. Just lurking, watching the show. You had mentioned that basketball is a sport that, and this is a point that I agreed with, that you kind of feel like it has that, you got to struggle before you find that success.
I'm just going by the history since I've been watching, you know. Yeah. Detroit had to go through Boston and the Lakers. Bulls had to go through Detroit. Knicks had to go through the Bulls. Pacers had to go through the Knicks. Orlando had to go through the Pacers. Bulls came back and just wiped out everybody.
But what I would say about that, that's a little different than now, a little different than today's basketball, is that you don't have those teams that are consistently in a Final Four.
Well, and you don't have the contracts and the way teams are shaped. You're not
can't
having
keep
that,
them all together.
Right, you're not having that 7 to 8 year core foundation, and those that are. So, and you notice how when it goes the other way, how bad it looks, like Golden State. So. Right.
So I, from that standpoint, I agree with you the way it was in the 80s and 90s. But what makes it so different now is like we would like to say, oh, you know, Boston's going to be in the hunt every year. But guess what? Nope. You would like to say the Knicks are in a run where for the next 4 years or, the you know, for a four-year stretch, they're going to be in the mix every year. It just doesn't work that way anymore. Whereas when you think of the Lakers, when you think of Boston back in the 80s and 90s, when you think about Detroit, when you think about the Bulls, you think about L.A.
Leroy.
Right? And even Utah.
Leroy.
It was the same teams.
Leroy, a team just won a championship. They're still the defending champions until the San Antonio, New York winner. And we're now talking about getting – they got to move one of their biggest pieces.
Right, we was thinking about them being a dynasty.
Right, and then in 12 months, because of one guy, we're now talking about now they got to break the triumvirate of of J. Will, Shea, and Chet. So that's
so
how
I would
it is.
Say it's a little different now.
It's absolutely different now. But
But it's still a part of that youth thing where you have to learn how to win. Because one of the things we said about OKC last year and going into this year, for a young team, they seem very veteran poised. Like not too up, not too down, very focused or whatever. They didn't win, but that's one of the things. They carried themselves like a veteran team, even though they were really young. I don't know if, you know, maybe San Antonio has that in them, right? But I would say this. What makes me worry is that their best player still has some ups and downs. Like, he'll respond, but he almost, like, won't initiate, right? He'll respond to the criticism. He'll respond to guys getting in his face, but he doesn't initiate. And I think to win a championship as early as this, you got to almost have that dog in you, and you got to initiate it. And that's what the Knicks do.
But even with and people saying, history never faced an alien. History did face an alien. Shaq, when they went to the finals, they beat up everybody. They just went against a veteran team, a defending champ. You know, when that Rudy T came said, never question the heart of a champion. And they got handled. They got swept.
Right.
They got swept.
Grown man.
Huh?
They got grown.
They got better basketball.
They got dreamed. That's what happened. They got dreamed.
You know, and when you're comparing it to the scene.
Which, keep in mind, Vlad, they played the only team who might have been considered to have an equal, if not more, athletic big than Shaq.
And, well, no, they just faced the team that just had a better big man than they had. I mean, he was the best player in the game at that time.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But that's just a try. Like, Lakers, Spurs, like, you have to go through that. You have to go through a lot of trials and tribulations, and then you have to knock off the team that caused you a lot of those trials and tribulations before you become the team. Notice how, remember when Miami beat Boston that second round?
Yeah.
And they were very emotional because LeBron thought about the times Boston eliminated them in Cleveland. D. Wade remembered the times Boston eliminated them.
Yeah. Collectively, they were tired of that.
They
would
cut, right, because there's always that one team that you have to beat to say that, you know, to establish yourself.
We don't have that. No. Well, I mean,
Boston was that in a way. Boston's been that for the last six years.
Three or four, 5 years. Yeah. But here's the deal. I mean, you could almost say that it happened sooner than it normally happens. But everybody thought you want to win a championship, you got to go through OKC. The fact that it happened this soon is not normal, right? I think it's an anomaly because, like, things worked out. That being said, it still doesn't mean that, like, are they going to come into it saying we succeeded because we got over those guys? Or they're going to realize, because in most cases in the 80s and 90s, that team you had to get over the hump was on in the other conference, and it happened in the finals.
Oh, no. Right. No, it's two things you had to get over. You had to get over the team that was the team in your conference.
Your rival.
And then the team that's going to be in the finals. So Detroit had to get over Boston and the Lakers. Chicago had to get over Detroit and the Lakers.
Right.
You know? Yeah, you got to get over that team.
Then in the 90s, early 2000s, it was San Antonio out west.
San Antonio, you know,
the Lakers out west.
Detroit in the east.
Right.
That's when Detroit was going in. Detroit was the team. That's why when Bron dropped the 48 special, when he scored 29 of the last 30 points.
Right.
He beat Detroit. They finally got over Detroit. But there was another team that was starting to arise, which was Boston. And then when they had their big three, Boston had it running for at least a good 4 or 5 years. They were the team that people were gunning for. The Heat with the big three, they were the team that people were gunning for. That's what Indiana put together a team. That's why Roy Hibbert all of a sudden became a vital part of the game.
Right.
You know? When you have an established team, everybody's trying to take that team out. And then when they do, they got to maximize on that opportunity, because not only do you become the team, but you have to be the team and be the champion. You can't be the team and then not get there. And then you're still, you know, on the precipice. You're still knocking on the door, because you got to figure those other teams are going to get better as well and come back.
Yep.
This isn't the first iteration of these Knicks, though. You know, this is a team that, first of all, was questioned in bringing in Jalen Brunson, and then question in releasing Julius Randle and bringing in Kat, question in signing Bridges for as much as they did, and wondering, you know, why Brunson would take such a pay cut, or when they broke up the Villanova three. So they've faced their own bit, even though it hasn't been like a team that they've had to get over specifically. They face their own failures and have built this process so slowly that I think in a game six, game seven, or these later situations, they're a more established team already. And I also feel that, like you were mentioning, Leroy, the amount of energy and exertion that it took for Wemby and the Spurs to get past OKC to then turn around and ramp that up in a couple days is, you know, it's going to take them a little bit to adjust. Meanwhile, the Knicks, who haven't really had a challenge in these past couple weeks and have been waiting for this Spurs team to essentially arrive in this final, can, you know, begin this series with the cards in their favor, essentially. So, I don't know. It's interesting to definitely look at. It's easy to say Wemby the alien can do things and overcome, but I think this may end up being a case in which this may be the last time we see Wemby lose a championship, but it may be, if there's one that he's going to lose, it may be this one.
Right.
Those are your headlines that are brought to you by our friends at Doral Kia. You always pay less with your Pricito at Doral Kia. Visit them at Doral Kia or at DoralKia.com.
Marlins started already.
And Marlins first pitch was at 105. So we checked the score. Now they're winning 10-0.
If there was a 10 in front of there, that zero, if there's a one in front of that zero, it's still 0-0 on the bottom of the first. This guy.
Jeez, a boy
can dream. A boy can dream.
This guy. Somebody's probably listening. Put some wagers on some Marlins, like Liam Hicks, Owen Casey to get some hits, and he had 10-0 the first inning. He's like, oh my God.
The over.
Yes. Well, I'm a liar.
That was like when Bam got his over in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good times. Leroy, would you do us the favor of giving us our final weather report brought to you by Tornado Roofing and Contracting? Replacing roofs, roof repairs, maintenance, and hurricane impact windows and doors, visit tornadoroofing.com.
It is mostly cloudy and it looks gloomy and it looks like it can rain at any time. So be careful out there. We got the light breezes, winds out of, I'm still say, the northwest. Because I can't really tell, so I'm just going to say keep it the same. And right now, I'm guessing it's 91 degrees, but it's muggy. It looks rainy. The humidity is over 80%, which means it gives you more of a chance of rain. And I would just say buckle up.
Well, I could get as accurate as saying that according to AccuWeather, rain will begin in 24 minutes. That is crazy specific. Jeez. And exactly 24 minutes rain will begin, which means it's actually not too bad at this very moment because it's about to be pouring very soon.
Pretty much.
Other headlines that we didn't get a chance to mention throughout today.
Stanley Cup Final, Game 1.
Cup Final, Game 1, an absolute barn burner.
It was good. It was really good.
A historic day, at the very least, as the Carolina Hurricanes jumped out to a very quick lead within the first 30 seconds, scoring the third fastest goal in Game 1 of Stanley Cup Final history.
And didn't win.
And then lost. It was a historic win, like I mentioned, because teams were 0-55 when down multiple goals at any point in a Stanley Cup Final Game 1, and Carolina had a 2-0 lead after 12 minutes of the first period. Now, obviously, being the cardiac cats, comeback cats, coming back against Carolina is what we do. So this is nothing new, of course, but it led for a good game, 5-4 final victory for the Knights, and Game 2 is tomorrow, I believe, right?
Yes.
They take one day in between?
Yeah, we're going to have...
It goes alternate, then switch, then 2 days, right?
Yeah, apparently this is what's weird about both the NBA and NHL. They're not having 2 days between games unless it's a travel day. So Game 1 is...
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Game 1, last night. Game 2 will be tomorrow, and then Game 3 will be
extra
Saturday.
Extra day for travel.
No, what's weird is Game 3 is actually... a one-day travel day. Game 3 will be Saturday night.
Oh, wow.
Oh, so they're just going every other day.
They're going every other day up until they get to Game 5, Game 6, Game 7. The NBA, Game 1 is tonight. Game 2 will be Friday. There'll be no games on the weekend. Game 3 is Monday. Game 4 is Wednesday. And then Game 5, if there is a Game 5, if necessary, will be Saturday. So NBA every other day, and then when they have to leave the series – the city is 2 days. 2 days off.
Okay.
So. Speaking of hockey, the Florida Panthers celebrated yesterday the 10th birthday of their new logo, which they revealed 2016. What do you guys think? Happy birthday to this logo? Yeah, I feel the same. We all feel the same.
No,
we all feel the same.
What are we doing?
Okay. All right. All right. Other headline here. Nas is in the NBA. Rap legend Nas. And composer Nicholas Britell are collabing for the NBA final score to create a signature audio identity. Essentially, composer Nicholas Britell is going to do the music. Nas is doing the voiceover.
Yeah, I think he did that for Amazon.
Well, they're launching a new signature audio identity, apparently. And I remember hearing Nas for Hennessy. That was my favorite. That's my boy.
I think he's grown now. He's running casinos a little in bit. New York City. I think he's, right. And, you know, he was one of the first to invest in Uber when Uber came out. So, yeah.
Smart man. Last headline here before we go to break. Meg the Stallion saying RIP to her wifey era in her new song. And it sounds like she's putting on blast that Klay Thompson scumbag of a human being.
Love him.
Finally being exposed for the scoundrel that he is.
So a player being a player?
He's not a player. Yeah, he is a player. A very mediocre, average wash player that gets too much credit. I agree, Vlad.
Keep That's doing what you're doing, Playboy.
Didn't he score 37 and a quarter?
He scored 60 everyone. with only taking 12 dribbles. God.
Yeah, you know what? And Milli Vanilli won a Grammy. So what are we doing here, huh? So what are we doing here?
So what are you saying?
Well, sometimes I mean, numbers lie. Only Vanilli is alive, right?
R.I.P.
Yeah.
These are the lyrics from the new song. All that wifey bleep is dead. Put that bleep to bed. I'm going to make him beg when I want some bleep.
Some brains?
Can I just say this? I just say this?
Yeah, you thought that was lyrically.
I'm going to say this.
All right.
Klay ain't losing no sleep over.
You think? Come on, dude.
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
You know why you do dirt to Meg the Stallion?
Why you do?
Because your roster is like that.
His roster is not nothing. Why do people think he's like that?
Because he is. Have you not seen his roster, bro?
What has
Vlad. Man. He don't understand.
Look, if you're a cornball, money don't fix that. Don't I can show you Drake's lineup, and you're still like, he's corny.
But but guess what?
With Klay.
You could be corny, but I'm not going to knock your lineup. If your lineup is your lineup, right. I'm not going to knock it.
There you go.
You see, Drake's in another little beef with Sauce Walker now. Do you know who Sauce Walker
is?
Yeah, I don't know.
You don't want to know. It's nothing, Leroy.
Don't worry. It's not even. It's really.
Can I just say this?
Not even worth mentioning.
Can I just say this? There's certain people that would want to have beef with me or come at me that I don't even give them the time of day.
Yeah.
I almost look at them like you are beneath me. And that's not being cocky. No, that's just being real. Like, you don't lower your standards to go beef with somebody.
No.
So if Drake says he's all of this, there's certain guys that you just laugh at and keep it moving.
Oh yeah, he's laughing at a Sauce Walker.
Sure. But that's what I'm saying. You know, like, come on.
But hey, let's not get distracted from the fact that Klay Thompson is a horrible human being, and really overrated. Mainly, if we're really talking about what the problem is,
When he get in the Hall of Fame.
You guys put anyone in the Hall of Fame, though. What's crazy is you put DeMar DeRozan in the Hall of Fame.
He is going to Hall of Fame.
For what, dude?
Go look at his numbers. You know that he's in the top. He's going to be in the top 10 in scoring, right?
Is he?
Yeah.
That's gross. 10, though. He's got to be 10 for sure. I mean, he's played a billion years. God.
Okay.
If I were to give everyone in the world, every single person in the world, DeMar DeRozan,
he is 16th. He is 16th in all-time scoring.
Cake Eater said it's
the
best.
Did you say 60?
16th, and he's going if he plays another season or two, he's going to be
a.
He's going to be in the top 10.
Cake Eater said it best.
What'd he say?
MGK with Eminem. Wish Eminem had that attitude about him.
Yeah, there you go. Because
he lit him up. I got to tell you, I don't think nobody want to mess with Eminem. Because Eminem ain't never picked no beef with nobody. He just going by this way.
Well, MGK did. MGK went after Eminem.
No, you can't. Right. It's just not going to win when you're looking at, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
Plus, he has what an can intangible, you say about Eminem he has an that intangible he hasn't already factor. Said about himself?
He has an intangible.
White. I am a bum. I do live in a trailer with my mom.
Right.
Yeah, pretty much. Okay, Jimmy. All right, we'll take a break. B-Rabbit.
Hey, you know, I know all the lyrics. Me and Joe in the morning, we would go back and forth. I don't understand why he loves.
Oh, my God. Your name is Clarence.
My name is Clarence.
Yeah, go to school and have both your parents. Like, yeah, that's Joe Rose every morning, bro. Every morning. Joe, it seemed like Joe, that's all he watched on Team Flights back was Lose Yourself, you know, 8 Mile.
It must be. Literally, just that part, too.
Just that part. Just the battle rap.
This man's a gangster. His real name is Aubrey.
You just called another grown man Cake Eater.
Well, that's the name of his title.
That's his handle.
That's his name.
I call you Schmeathen.
Like, what? Yeah.
You're a grown man copying another grown man's name.
Right. All you did was put the sh, letting you know, either way you think of the name.
Right.
Yeah, so, it sounds stupid, like Frog Boy.
Yeah, no.
Hate that name.
Ribbit.
Oh, and then he said, not that Cake Eater, though. It's a reference to Mighty Ducks.
Yeah, I don't trust it. When can you break?
Hey, you said it's his name. He the reason he picked it?
I would have picked the other reason. I'm just saying.
Yeah, listen, I'm gonna be manly on the way out.
I love
Cake. You know what I'm saying?
We're gonna take a break when we come back. NBA Finals trivia. Leroy versus Vlad.
Oh boy.
When we come back.
Vlad gonna win this.
I hope.